So I wanted to talk to you some more about this idea of waking up into spiritual life. As I said to the children, Swedenborg was given this amazing experience. And there are so many details about the process of resurrection that I'd like to share some of them with you. And also to think about how it isn't just that we wake up to spirituality after we die. Because if we don't wake up to spirituality while we are still living in this world, then we're going to be in trouble in the next, and at the very least have a lot of work to do when we get there. So we're encouraged to start now. Begin with the reading from Heaven and Hell, Heaven and Hell number 445. Our revival from the dead and entry into the spiritual life is the heading. When someone's body can no longer perform its functions in the natural world in response to the thoughts and the affections of the spirit, which it derives from the spiritual world, then we say that the individual has died. This happens when the lungs cease breathing and the heart's systolic motion have ceased. The person, though, has not died at all. We are only separated from the physical nature that was useful to us in the world. The essential person is actually still alive. I say that the essential person is still alive because we are not people because of our bodies, but because of our spirits. After all, it is the spirit within us that thinks, and thoughts and affections together make us the people we are. We can see then that when we die, we simply move from one world into another. That is why, in the inner meaning of the word, death means resurrection and a continuation of life. And so much so that when angels in the other world are reading the word, or with us when we're reading the word and we come across the idea of death, they immediately think of resurrection. And it was quite a miraculous thing that Swedenborg was able to have this experience of dying. But, you know, he's not alone. A number of books have been written since the 1970s about experience of near-death experiences, because medical science has advanced to the point where it's not all that uncommon for people who have been pronounced clinically dead to be able to be resuscitated or brought back to life. And we do things like, chest compression or shock or mouth-to-mouth in order to stimulate what? The heartbeat and the breathing. Because if we can get the heartbeat and the breathing going, then the spirit can be connected with the body. But when those things stop, then the spirit begins to leave the body. And you know, right now we have spirits around us, all of us. And they're just kind of our everyday companions. We don't see them, but all of the thoughts we have coming into our minds and all of the feelings we experience, the emotions, are coming from the Lord through these spirits into us. And we think they come from within ourselves because we feel them in ourselves just the way we see things in our brain. But in fact, they're coming from the spiritual world. When we die, when the heart stops beating completely, no more motion at all, and we stop taking in that air and letting it out, then the spirits who are with us lose their connection to us. And at that point, the Lord surrounds us with angels from the highest heaven. And Swedenborg, because he was conscious in both worlds, even though his body thought it was dead. He said that he had a subtle breathing that was almost imperceptible. And so the spirits who were with him thought he was dead. And the celestial angels who came near around the spirit of Swedenborg caused there to be this sweet odor. And Swedenborg likens it to the smell of a body or a corpse who's been embalmed. I've not experienced that as a sweet odor, but he describes it as a sweet odor that we all have when we die, and the Lord provides that because it protects us so that evil spirits don't come and be around us and disturb us in the process of transition. Another thing that happens is that those celestial angels, there's two of them who come and sit beside us, and they we can't see anything at this point. It's like we're unconscious or in sleep. But they come and they look with their faces into our face or into the face of our spirit. And as they look into the face of our spirit, they can tell when we begin to receive their feelings and their thoughts, because our face starts to mirror their faces. And you know, you might notice this happens kind of normally in conversations with other people. When you have a really intense and close conversation with someone else, and they're expressing their emotions, and you pick that up and you mirror those emotions back without even thinking about it. So that's what's happening as we're first dying. The angels who are around us know that we are able to feel their love, to feel their caring for us and what they're thinking about as we radiate back that on our face to them. So those angels are with us for quite a while. He says, "The angels seated at my head were silent, merely sharing their thoughts with mine. And when their thoughts are received, the angels know that the spirit of man is in a state in which it can be drawn forth from the body. This sharing of thoughts was effected by looking into my face, for this is the way in heaven thoughts are shared." And Swedenborg says that the spirits who are around him, that is the everyday associate spirits that we have, they left supposing I was dead. And this aromatic odor that was there kept them and evil spirits away from us. The celestial angels are with us as long as we're comfortable with them. As long as we're comfortable with them and we feel their presence. But most of us are not in that state of the highest heavens, especially while we live in the world. And so we gradually begin to feel uncomfortable with all of this love that's surrounding us. And it's like, you know, our sense of self gets edgy and it wants to back away. And you have that experience if you're with someone who's really intense, or, you know, maybe they're really angry or they're really excited about something and they're in your face and they're talking about something and you just feel like, you know, I need to back away. Or sometimes you might be with someone who is feeling just very kind and generous, and after a while, you feel a little bit uncomfortable around that. You feel like, I'm not sure that I belong here. So the same thing happens with us and these celestial angels who are with us. And it says they don't withdraw, because angels love everyone and they want the spirit to receive their love as much as he can. And when we first die, Swedenborg says, most people are in the thought of eternal life. It's kind of a normal phenomenon. You know you're dying. What do you think about? What's next? So we're in thoughts about eternal life. And these celestial angels are keeping us in those thoughts about eternal life and feeling the joy of heaven as we begin to wake up. But when we feel uncomfortable with them and we start to want to move away, then angels of the spiritual kingdom or the next lower heaven come around us. And these angels have a particular job, which is to begin to restore sight. And of course, sight has to do with knowing. Like in the Genesis story where we say, let there be light, it's like beginning to know or understand. And so here, when we begin to see light and our eyes begin to be opened, then we begin to be instructed by these spiritual angels. And they start to tell us about what the other world is like and what our life is going to be like there and what's going to be happening shortly. But Swedenborg says he experienced it as a rolling off of the covering of the eye. And that's only an appearance, he says. But that's the way it seems to the person. You may have watched videos called Off the Left Eye and wondered, why do they call their channel Off the Left Eye? Well, the reason is because when we are waking up into the spiritual world, one of the early things that's happening to us is that what seems to us as if a covering over our eyes is rolled off. He says it rolls off towards the bridge of the nose, off the left eye. And of course, the left side is the intellectual side or understanding side. The right side is the heart side. So it's rolled off the left eye, and we begin to see. Angels rolled it off, or appeared to roll it off, as it were a coat from my left eye toward the bridge of the nose, that the eye might be opened and be enabled to see. This is only an appearance, he says, but to the spirit it seems really to be done. But so we wake up, and a whole lot happens after that, because there are various states that happen to us when we first enter the spiritual world, and we go through these various states. The first one is that we still think we're in the natural world. The natural world and the spiritual world seem so alike to the relative person living there that we don't know any otherwise than that we're still in the natural world. And our environment appears to us to be like it was when we had died. And we stay in that state for however long is useful, and then we move into other states, states which include finding out what our insides are like. But these first angels who are with us tell us that we've died. So we're actually told that we've died, and we're told what it's going to be like for us coming up, but we're also kind of drifting back into the thought that we're just living the same life we've always lived in the natural world. And I think that probably comes back to us again and again as a bit of a startling surprise. Oh no, I'm a spirit. I'm living in the spiritual world. Some people talk about how they can't imagine that in the world they didn't believe in life after death, because here they are, and it's real as real. But they know that when they were in the world, they didn't believe that there was life after death. But I wanted to talk about being awake even before we die. And I thought I'd use the story of Samson and Delilah just a little bit to illustrate that, because when we're asleep, we're in danger. And when we're living in the natural world, the state that most of us are in most of the time is that we're asleep. So Samson had this girlfriend or mistress, Delilah, and she was in league with the rulers of the enemies of Israel, the Philistines. And the Philistine rulers were trying to get her to use that inside connection or leverage that she had with Samson to find out where his strength came from. And she tried, and he kept lying to her about how he got his strength and ways that people could take away his strength. But eventually she prevailed on him to tell her the truth, that the strength that he had was from the Lord in his hair, in his long hair. So we read in Judges chapter 16, and not in your pew card, When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands because they were paying her off for betraying Samson. With silver in their hands, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he woke up from his sleep and thought, "I will go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And in Secrets of Heaven, Swedenborg writes in the Teachings of the New Church, number 150, our condition when we rely on ourselves, or when we think we live by our own power, can be compared to slumber or unconsciousness. The people of old actually called that condition slumber, and the word speaks of it as being flooded with a spirit of slumber and sleeping asleep. And so our hope is that we will wake up, like, let there be light, that we will become more aware of spiritual things. And, you know, the more we're focused externally, whether it's on pleasure or on excitement or hard work or anything else like that, the less we're likely to be thinking about the fact that our thoughts come from the Lord, the fact that our desires to do what is useful come from the Lord, the fact that our ability to resist evil impulses comes from the Lord. We're just in the act of, or in the external thought of doing these things. And we lose that connection. It's like Samson getting his hair cut off. We lose that connection to the Lord because we're looking out here. But looking out here is really deceptive. You know, someone was speaking to me yesterday about how what a great place this would be for a magician, because there are lots of little places where you can hide things, like in these. And so you could have stuff pop out or up from behind the altars. And I thought that was really great that we have this idea of magicians. And have you ever watched a magician perform? Or watched someone doing card tricks? Everything happens before your eyes, but you don't see it. You don't see it. And that's the way with spirituality. You know, everything is happening right in front of us, but we don't see it because we're focused on what it is that the magician is doing with his hands or with his body to get us to put our eyes over here while he's doing something over there that we aren't looking at. I'm not a magician, but I'm told that that's how it works. And spirituality is the same way. We can turn our thoughts from the things that are always calling to us, grabbing our attention, saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. This is what you need. This is what you want. This will make you happy. This will give you power. This will help you control your family, whatever. All of these thoughts that you're having, we have the ability to stop and think about what the Lord wants us to be doing and what's coming into us from the spiritual world. We have the ability to reflect on the feelings we're having. You know, very often we have feelings and we don't even know what to call them. I've done some exercises in classes where they had us write out, you know, whole whiteboards full of different kinds of feelings. And before I ever did something like that, if you'd ask me what kind of feelings there are, I would say, well, there's angry and hungry and thirsty and happy. But no, there's just all kinds of feelings we have. And they're very subtle, and they come into us from the spiritual world, and we focus on the ones we look at. And so waking up to spirituality is fostering the ability to look at what's coming into ourself and think about it and come to know its quality. You know, so, you know, we might say, I'm angry. But what's behind that anger? Well, the anger might be covering up a sense of loss or sadness or fear. We strike out with anger when we feel threatened, but it's fear that underlies that. And getting in touch with the fear can help us to deal more appropriately with the situation than lashing out in anger. There's so many ways we wake up to spirituality. Samson in prison was able to have his hair grow long. And so in the end, he was able to defeat the Philistines with strength that he got back from the Lord. And that is a comforting part of the story to me, because we lapse, we fail. You know, we get carried away by our external life, and then we feel guilt or shame or remorse. And it's like we feel imprisoned by those things. I did what I did. But the Lord is always giving us that chance to reconnect to our inner source of strength and to feel His presence and to use His power for good. So the task in the task card at the end of your bulletin says, waking up in the spiritual world happens to everyone when they die. Our challenge is to wake up to spirituality, or to be awake in the spirit while we still live in this world. This week, I invite you to meditate or reflect on qualities which are truly heavenly. These may be qualities which you see in others and desire to have in yourself. And just to think about that, you know, you see someone doing something kind or compassionate, and all kinds of different thoughts can come into your head about that. But one of them is that person is responding to the Lord's call to help someone else. And that's a quality that I would like to have in me. Now, we don't need to say that person wants other people to notice how good they are, or whatever other thoughts might come into our mind. We have the opportunity to see the Lord at work in the lives of other people. That's that little wedge of opening up the door, rolling off the cover of our eye, and becoming awake to spirituality. Amen.